Welcome to the latest edition of Podcast Voice Training with Jan Jansen of www.janjansen.com and Scott Patton of www.podcasting-unleashed.com. Welcome. We're sure happy you joined us today. Hi, Jan. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good. So today we're going to be talking about the four P's, and I think this is really, really important when you're going to be giving any sort of presentation. And I know this is voice training, and we tend to want to talk about you podcasters and how you can have more powerful presentations in your podcast, but it also totally applies to public speakers, keynote speakers, managers wanting to talk to their staff, husbands wanting to talk to their wives, wives talking to their husbands, any sort of communication. And because the more effective you can communicate, the better you're going to be at living the life that you want, really, because I think effective communication is extremely important. And one of the real keys to it are the four P's. Right?
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought?
There you go. Well, I got to make sure with all these P's that I've got popping to the microphone here. But it is true, Scott, that communication is vital. And we don't realize how effectively we do communicate or how effectively we don't communicate every single day.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when it's under the microscope, so to speak, and you're on stage, that's when every little flaw seems to show up. That little pimple at the end of your nose all of a sudden just seems to be the biggest thing on your face, right?
Also, when you record something, it becomes very, very obvious.
Yes.
Because when I'm listening to, say, our recordings, I notice I'm always saying, and so, or and yes. And that's really a good thing because I'm now aware of doing it and I can start to make changes. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go through a whole podcast without saying or so or whatever my habits are. But if you're aware of it, you can start to change.
Those are your mannerisms. That's a whole other topic.
Right.
But today we're going to talk about pausing, first of all. So what happens with pausing is pretty interesting once we're on stage or speaking in front of an audience. And it's because our nerves get the best of us.
Oh, yes.
So if you're listening to yourself in an everyday conversation, for example, like you and I are having right now, I'm pausing. And I'm doing that automatically.
Yes.
Whereas what happens when you get up on stage, it's like you have what I call verbal diarrhea. It just like comes out and we just go, I just need to get it out. I just need to get out fast. I just want to get off stage. Well, all of a sudden, pausing and all these four P's that we're going to talk about today just go right out the window because nerves take over.
Yeah.
And yet what's so fascinating, especially about pausing, is that that's one of the most effective ways to calm your nerves. It's about breathing.
Right. Oh, hey, I get up on stage and I have to really remind myself to breathe.
Right. Because otherwise you're like, right in the middle of a sentence, right? And that doesn't sound particularly professional. So pausing is important from that standpoint, and it's nerves that usually cause the havoc. And perhaps we're not as effective in pausing as we could be. So I just want to bring out a couple of things. And one is that a pregnant pause is very, very effective.
Right.
And a pregnant pause would be when you are about to say something and you just stop. And everybody's kind of waiting.
Waiting. The anticipation. What's
going to happen?
Say,
right? And then you start again. And I think it's grossly underused, actually, in the public speaking arena.
Which brings up another point in that silence is a very powerful tool of the speaker. But not used very often.
Right. And also, I remember growing up, because there's actually a scripture in the Bible where if you change the comma, it actually changes the whole meaning of the scripture.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm going to use a variation of it. So, it's, for example, if I said, let me tell you today, you will die. There's a big difference between me saying that and me saying, let me tell you, today you will die.
Right.
No, I've just changed the pause.
Yes.
Right? Let me tell you today, you will die. As opposed to, let me tell you, today you will die. Okay.
I like the first one much better.
Now, I did two things there. One is I paused, and I also, as you notice, I put emphasis on a different word.
Right.
Okay, so I used two of our techniques, and so that's really where the sense stress came in. When the first one, I really emphasized, you will die, as opposed to, let me tell you, today, because that's the key word in that phrase, you will die.
Right.
So I put together the pausing, but you see how it dramatically changes.
Yes. I'm really concerned if you tell me the second one.
The second one, right?
Right.
So we have to be we have to be thinking about where our pauses are, because it could completely change the sentence and the meaning of it.
Yeah, no wonder communication can, you can have miscommunication so easily, right? If you're not paying attention to something as subtle as that.
And that's where the sense stress will come in as well. So it's when you emphasize certain words or thoughts because it's going to convey that certain meaning that you want.
Right.
And that's where, again, you have to be really, really clear on what you want to convey. The other thing is that with your sense stress, it'll have to do with your volume, whether you're speaking higher, lower, whether you speak slowly mm-hmm. and deliberately, or you may speed up and speak really quickly because you're really excited and you want to get a point across.
Right.
That comes down to that pitch and the pace and the power of all of your words.
The other three P's.
The other three P's. So you may speak very, very softly, even though it may be very, very serious. Mm-hmm. Or you may speed up and really get fast and excited and animated because the passion needs to come through. People need to take action and they need to take it now.
Right, right.
See the difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big difference.
And what happens is when people get on stage is they get boring.
Yeah, because they do one of, whatever they do, whether they are slow and low or fast and speedy, but you need to vary the pace.
You need to have the variation in the pace.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens so many times, Scott, is because, and it's really going back to one of the first things that we talked about, there's been so many rules put out there about what you should do or shouldn't do on stage. Mm. And I've seen some of the funniest people get up stage, and they're incredibly boring. And I kind of go, what happened?
Right.
What happened to this dynamic, vivacious person? And it's because they've wanted to play by the rules. And so in their everyday speech, they would have variations in there. But now they're becoming so not who they truly are that they lose all of it.
Right. And that's another key, is get up there and be yourself.
And be yourself, which then you normally and naturally will. But be cognizant. Think about using the variations. And I remember the first time we were talking about 30-second elevator speeches at one of my workshops, and I decided that I was going to really emphasize the word boring. And so I had to practice really saying things like, and they're boring! And I felt stupid standing there in the mirror doing this.
Right.
But I wanted to do it, and I practiced it, and when I got up on stage and I did it, people were kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
But it was very effective because they realized that they were boring in their 30-second elevator speeches.
Right.
And that, ho-hum, is this woman ever going to be finished kind of attitude that they've often had listening to them.
Right, right.
Applied to them, too.
Yeah, imagine that.
Imagine that. So that was a real highlight. So you may have to practice your pausing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I can almost guarantee you, you will.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to practice your pitch, power, and pace. So it is really, really important. And one of the things that you can do is practice reading or speaking very, very quickly so that your tongue actually gets used to that pace. Because if you are used to speaking at a certain pace, it's almost like your tongue is like doing exercises and aerobics.
Right, right. Tongue aerobics.
Tongue aerobics. So you may need to speak really, really quickly or read really, really quickly so that your tongue gets used to moving that fast.
Yeah.
Then what you will do is you will read very, very slowly so that you also get used to exaggerating. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where I am, I can move back and forth and my tongue isn't getting all mixed up.
Yeah, you don't want to get tongue tangled.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons that it happens to speakers is because they haven't practiced it.
Right. Okay. Practice makes perfect, or perfect practice makes perfect.
That's right. That's right. So those are a few of the things, and there's just one last one that I wanted to talk about, and that was changing a statement into a question.
Okay.
Which will, again, totally change.
Absolutely, the meaning.
The meaning.
Yeah.
And it also will change the effectiveness. So I could say something like, you know, many people today are struggling in their business and not making enough money as an entrepreneur. That's a statement.
Right.
However, if I changed that around and I said, how about you as an entrepreneur, are you making enough money in your business? Mm. Now all of a sudden, that has completely changed it, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I'm paying way more attention.
And you're paying way more attention. Okay. So I could use stats, for example. I could say, well, only 30% of women entrepreneurs in Canada earn over $17,000. Or I could say, are you one of the entrepreneurs in this country that is only earning or is there earning less than $17,000? And if you are, is there ways that you would like to change that? Mm-hmm. Now it's become far more personal. So a statement as opposed to a question will completely change. Again, and that's done through modulation, through sense stress.
And it pulls your audience in, too, because it's like they're paying attention, like, am I, and you're figuring it out, answering the question.
That's right.
Which causes activity as opposed to just sitting there blandly listening to what the person had to say.
Right. So, in summation, Scott, what I would say is all four of these things need to be practiced. Mm-hmm. This is something you may need to learn. I spent years learning this stuff.
So it's a good chance that everybody's going to have to spend some time learning
It's a good chance you're going to have to spend some time. But I think it's really worthwhile because, first of all, it will become almost automatic.
Yeah.
I'm cognizant of it. So it's about being cognizant of what you're doing instead of getting up there and being on autopilot again. And I think one of the biggest assets is that if you can master this, you will set yourself above almost every other speaker because very few people are aware of this.
That's right. And that's not just in terms of being on a podcast or in front of an audience, but it's also when you're talking to your coworkers or your boss or your people you're managing. Yeah. In all aspects of life.
Children,
yeah.
Husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, everybody. Absolutely. Potential clients.
Yeah, potential clients.
Yeah. If you're sitting across the desk from somebody and you ask that effective question, you know when to pause. Boy, you can be very, 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 very effective.
Yeah. There's a saying in sales that the last person to speak loses. And one of my friends, he's vice president of a food importing company, and he called on this fellow and this buyer and did his presentation and sat back and looked at the guy. And the gentleman looked back. And there was silence. And finally, he leaned forward, looked at the paper, said, "All right, I guess you win. I'll buy it."
There you go.
Power of silence.
The power of silence. Yeah. Absolutely. So hopefully that's helped our audience, Scott. And again, these are things we're going to have to practice, but they're worthwhile.
Well, I certainly learned a lot, Jan. And I want to thank everybody for spending this time with us and hope that you got a lot out of this podcast. And come by and visit, leave a comment on our blog. It's http://persuasive-speech, and it's persuasive-speech.podomatic.com. And I think maybe what I'll do is put up a little blog somewhere with an easy to find name or remember name and just forward that to our podcast.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right. So thank you very much for joining us, and we appreciate your comments and your support, and look forward to talking to you next time.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott.
Bye.